Major phone carriers make you sign contracts with rigid data plans to trap you into a kind of forced phonogamy. Sounds pretty insecure, if you ask me. At Consumer Cellular, we believe in a more consensual and healthy form of phonogamy, free of contracts and more flexible to your data needs. This way, you stick around not because we force you to with contracts and fees, but because you love our phone plans. Like, ardently love our phone plans. Phonogamously. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. Joe, you've noticed that the they're pushing, again, the CDC is pushing more of these shots. They're trying to push these COVID shots. They're trying to push these flu shots. They're the same thing. They've got the same killer, the same poison in these shots, Joe. And they can't understand why the people aren't taking the shots. You know, they've got this big program. They're doing, they're running all these commercials, making it look like, boy, you know, it'd really be a smart thing to do to take these shots. Well, we're going to be hearing from a whole list of immunologists, virologists, MDs, talking about, and these are from different countries, that, you know, they're telling you what they know about these shots. And Joe, we're telling you, not just, folks, it's not just what they call the COVID shot, it's the flu shot too. I would absolutely, definitely not take them. Believe me, folks, we've warned you before. Joe, you remember 3 weeks before the first person out there took the COVID shot. Remember, we talked about it. We said how they have not been tested on people. The Pentagon was behind this. Only the Pentagon could do the things that they did and get away with it. You know, literally using these shots, you know, to take out people, our own people, okay? To give these untested shots. We talked about how every single one of the test animals died, all of them.
Died, yeah.
Okay,
and
so,
then they wanted to give them to all our young soldiers. It's madness.
Right.
It was just like with this article that I just read about this vax. One of the Dr. Galinsky, retired professor of medicine at Stanford, said, "This is madness. Must be stopped before it's too late." Several other doctors were talking about they could see no rational reason for this kind of research. People from the University at London Genetic Institute all over the world, they're saying I can see nothing of interest, nothing of value from force-infecting a weird breed of humanized mice with random viruses. Conversely, I can see how much, much stuff could go easily wrong.
This is
several different doctors from different countries all saying the same thing.
All of those that hate God love death. Of those that hate God love death.
They're very clear on that, aren't they?
Yeah, and this is exactly what's happening. So, all right, William in Boston, pledges 100. Thank you, William. The numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We're gonna go for a clip, and these are known virologists from around the world, from Sweden, from Germany, from all around the world, and from here in America. In fact, one of them I recognize as my good friend, Dr. Tenpenny. And so, hang tight. We'll be back. Go ahead, take her away.
A group of doctors, medical professionals, have gotten together, and they made a video called "Ask the Experts." Each one of them gave a short testimony. In record time, YouTube pulled this video down. And what I'm going to do right now, I am going to show you 7 to 10 minutes worth of these experts making their statements as they made on that video. Now, remember, I have cut 2/3 or more out of this video, so it's worth going to watch the whole thing. There's so much more in there. I just want to give you a flavor of what these medical professionals, experts in their fields, what they have to say.
Now, due to the excuse of a global pandemic, the pharma industry has the permission to skip the animal trials. This means that we humans will be the guinea pigs, and we might get severe side effects when we are exposed to new viruses.
The COVID-19 vaccine has not been proven safe and effective. It's a new technology, and it's been tested on a few thousands of people in a few months. Please do your own research.
We believe that it is reckless and unnecessary to roll out these essentially experimental vaccines that are using a completely new mRNA technology to millions of people, when there is only limited short-term safety data, no evidence that they will prevent transmission of the virus, and no long-term safety data to rule out late-onset negative effects.
This pandemic is not a real medical pandemic. The COVID-19 vaccine is not proven safe or effective because there has not been enough time.
There has never been a licensed RNA vaccine, and this is not because there have been many clinical trials, but that in the safety studies, there was significant adverse events and death in the animals that were used in these studies over the past 20 years.
That there is no long-term safety data on any of the COVID vaccines. This means that they are essentially experimenting on us, which is against the Nuremberg Code.
Here representing the UK Medical Freedom Alliance, this is a growing body of doctors, scientists, academics and lawyers. We believe that there has been an overestimation of the public health risk from SARS-CoV-2 due to misrepresentation of data and inappropriate use of the PCR test.
The PCR test is inaccurate. It actually causes so many false positives.
There is no emergency situation. It was all orchestrated to make you fearful enough to take the vaccine. This vaccine is just not proven safe. It has been developed too quickly. We have no idea what the long-term effects will be.
This is not a real medical pandemic the world is enduring at this time. The vaccine has not been proven safe or effective, and I will not be taking and or recommending it because there is no safe vaccine, period.
And I think it's unacceptable that all liabilities have been waived for the companies that are producing it. If pharma doesn't take responsibility for the products they make, how can they expect doctors to inject them to their patients without doubt of doing harm? More and more, we see that this is really not a medical pandemic. The measures for corona caused far more collateral damage than the virus causes itself. Worldwide, we see that the numbers of cases are falsely presented in order to drive the population to obedient behavior and to vaccination. So please be critical. Do your own research and don't let the media manipulate you. I think it's time to react. Time to stand up for your freedom, for the future of your children. Don't give in to anxiety, to polarization, to governmental control, and to restriction of your freedom, all under the false pretext of a virus, because that's what's happening.
The real epidemic is fear and hysteria. The hysteria was accelerated by corporations who gained financially through selling fast-tracked, flawed medical tests.
All righty, we are back. Folks, what is referred to as your mainstream media are not legitimate at all. NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, they're simply a branch. They're simply the propaganda arm, the propaganda branch of the Democratic Communist Party. And that's the reality. I mean, I think most of you know that out there. And this is why...
It's the truth. It's been that way for a long time.
Absolutely. Felicia in New York pledges 100. Thank you, Felicia. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. This is one of the reasons why they want to stop AM talk radio if they possibly can. These people would, believe me, they would love to have us off the radio. Because we delegitimize what the they try to put on this front like they're legitimate media, like they're actually out there as journalists. They're not journalists. They're shock jocks. They're not telling you the truth, okay? Whatever they're told, whatever so-called the narrative is, and they look at you, they act like they that they're legitimate, and they're not. You have people like Wretched Medcow, or what's Rachel Melk? What's
Rachel,
her name?
Rachel, yeah.
Okay. You sure it wasn't Wretched Medcow?
Yeah, probably. Wretched sounds pretty good, too, yeah.
Some of the things that this woman has said is just absolutely, especially about Donald Trump. And they call this the narrative. Okay, again, whatever the lie is told, they'll tell you any lie. Joe, I don't have a doubt in my mind that people like that in the mainstream media, if they were told, right here in Cleveland, if they were told, look, come Tuesday morning, we found out that Cleveland's going to get nuked, but we got to keep this quiet. We don't want to start a panic, so you go ahead and don't, but you can take just your immediate family. Don't tell your friends, don't tell your relatives, don't tell anybody else, and just quietly leave. If they would go that far, and they would do it. I mean, they are betraying the American people. They know that every day when they go on out there in front of those cameras and they say whatever the narrative is, and folks, and they wonder why they're losing credibility. They're losing more and more every day. I mean, even amongst themselves, they shake their heads and say, you know, how long can we keep this up? How long can we keep doing this? People don't believe us. They don't trust us anymore. But anyhow.
Well, if I could interrupt, I've got a story that backs up the clip you just played plus your comment. Report, the COVID vaccine maker, pharmaceutical giant Moderna, tracked the content of media personalities critical of COVID-19, seeking to censor misinformation. There was an investigation been going on. We know they went after Alex Berenson and Russell Brand, Michael Schellenberg, but we found out from Real Clear Investigations and independent journalist Lee Thang, they found out now that the Moderna's marketing department collaborated with the former FBI and Secret Service analysis to influence online vaccine discourse. And we know what? The mainstream media went right along with it. So Moderna worked with Public Good Projects, a pharmaceutical industry nonprofit, to collaborate with governments and social media platforms to police vaccine misinformation online. Part of the investigation found the organization's website lists media monitoring and misinformation alerts as part of its service, and it was distributing talking point to a network of 45,000 healthcare professionals, as well as giving advice on how to respond when vaccine misinformation went mainstream. And it goes on from there. I think you get the drift from just those headlines. They worked with the media. They worked with the FBI. They collaborated to what? Go after anybody who was trying to tell the truth is really what the whole end of the story is. So here we have Big Pharma working with the FBI, working with media, and working with nonprofit organizations to what? Deceive you, keep you from hearing the truth that the vaccine is dangerous, deadly, it's causing cancer, it's causing heart problems, young people are dying, more people die to the vax than COVID, but they're still pushing the vaccine because what? Money. There's fortunes involved, people are getting filthy rich off the vaccine, hospitals and pharmacies and other things are getting rich off of the COVID, so they'll keep it running as long as they keep the gravy train going, right?
Right, Joe, and again, remember, you know, the mainstream media, so-called, they knew all about this, everything we're reporting. Here's a good article. Here's a good example of what I'm talking about. Epstein sought baby farms so elites could impregnate underage girls. Remember, We talked about this years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, about Epstein's, especially the New Mexico ranch, what was taking place out there.
There was more going on than they ever wanted to put out there.
And those people in the mainstream media, they knew even more about it than we did because some of them were there, huh? Okay.
Yeah, well.
And so let me just go. This is an article from World News Daily, and not unlike multiple previous and failed social ideologies about a super race of citizens on Earth, convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein reportedly wanted to set up a baby farm at his New Mexico ranch. Remember, we were telling you back when Hillary was running against President Trump back in the 2016, we were telling you about her and Chelsea visiting that ranch. They visited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
yeah,
was,
we did it on air.
So the purpose would have been to allow underage girls to have the children of these elites in society, those with money and influence. According to a report published in Sense of Truth, Epstein's twisted desire included impregnating numerous underage girls at his expensive property. And I have to pause for just a second. Aiming this to seed humanity with not only his own DNA, but also that of his influential associates. Investigative
the
reporter.
Wealthy people are what he's talking about, right?
Right. Now, there's a whole lot of them in that little black book of his. You're going to hear about some of them from time to time. We've been talking about some of them. Investigative reporter Paul Joseph Watson explained in the video, we know that Epstein was obsessed with trying to groom the tech elite, like with his infamous dinners with Bill Gates. That's why Gates' wife left him. It got to be too much for her, okay? He reported basically like the elitist, Epstein was transfixed with transhumanism and life extension technologies. It turns out Epstein wanted to freeze his own head. And yes, also, well, I'm not going to go there. He goes on to say, well, yeah, I will. He wanted to freeze his own head and freeze his own penis, is what it says here in the article. The report said that Watson charged Epstein's sprawling ranch in New Mexico, which was pedantically maintained by staff, yet rarely used or visited by Epstein himself, appeared to have one main bizarre function, to serve as a baby-making facility where Epstein would attempt to help foster his dream of seeding the human race with his DNA by impregnating women. So it goes on, but we talked about that years ago. Now, again, like I said, Joe, the mainstream media knows much more about that than we do for obvious reasons, huh?
A great many reasons. Like part of it, they're bought and paid for whores, and some of them are even true believers.
All right, Steve in Massachusetts pledges 20. Dan, the blessing man, he pledges 60. And the numbers are, credit card numbers especially, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Give them again, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. There you go. Now, here's another article, Joe. Remember here, I saw the book was not selling. E. Jean Carroll makes stunning admission about her Trump media tour. Okay. President Trump appeared in court on Wednesday as E. Jean Carroll testified in a trial where the jury will decide how much Trump has to pay for his so-called defamatory statements about her. Judge Lewis Kaplan, a Clinton appointee, previously ruled that Trump is liable for defamatory statements he made about E. Jean Carroll after she accused him of rape. In 2019, E. Jean Carroll alleged Donald Trump raped her at the Bergdorf Goodman dressing room in the 1990s, Trump has denied these allegations and called E. Jean Carroll a whack job who's not his type. Now, there was another woman who was on Fox News a way back. And I got a picture of this woman as E. Jean Carroll, and she's doing some strange things in this picture. But anyhow, E. Jean Carroll sobbed as she testified on Wednesday. She was represented by her attorney, Sean Crowley, and Roberta Kaplan. I am here because Donald Trump assaulted me, and when I wrote about it, he lied, and he shattered my reputation, Carroll told the jury on Wednesday. Carroll told the jury that she expected Trump to respond to allegations of rape when she first went public in 2019. Why would you wait 30 years to do that, right?
Well, not only that, she can't remember the month. What was it, the day, the month, or the year? I'm trying to remember what I read about that. There, she can't remember, kind of like the woman that was going after the Supreme Court judge. She can't remember anything except the fact that he did this to her someplace. She remembers the place, but she can't remember the month or whatever year. It's amazing. And like you said, 30 years later, it's...
Here's the thing. He goes on to say, 30 years later, all of a sudden now, she decides, you don't suppose that those people from the Communist Party said, look, we'll get your back. You just go out there and we'll make it worth your while. And so,
what happened to the statute of limitations? They have, there's only like a couple of things like murder and mayhem and a couple of real severe things. Everything else has a statute of limitations, even rape on the federal charges. When the statute runs out, you can't bring a charge. I just don't understand how this is going on legally.
Well, I mean, the whole idea of the idea of she was raped, wouldn't that be a criminal offense? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And the statute of limitations for anything to happen is passed. She waited way too late to bring it up, so it should all be mute. There should be no court case. There should be no charges. It's a nothing burger legally. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I remember I do know you look around, statute of limitations applies to everything but about two or three major offenses, you know.
Trump said he never even met this woman before. And not only that, but now there was another woman on Fox News that was talking about a while back, and this store where this Bergdorf Goodman dressing room, this other woman said, I've shopped in that store. And believe me, she said, those little dressing rooms, they're not big enough to rape people in. In other words, and she said, and you can't possibly, that couldn't possibly be done without everybody in the store knowing about it, okay? And she said that would be just an impossibility. But again, look, no matter what you're charged with, right now, if Donald Trump was charged with assassinating Abraham Lincoln, and it was in a D.C. court, they would find him guilty, okay? Or even in one of those courts in New York. Those are communist courts, and the idea, there's no justice. It's not about justice at all. It's just corruption, pure and simple. Anyhow, 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. And so, here's another article on that same thing. It says, Judge Kaplan's contempt for Trump. Here, this judge, very, very corrupt, very, very corrupt anti-Trump judge, Lewis Kaplan. He was another lawless and completely immoral Democrat activist, okay? This is the article out of the Gateway Pundit, another article. The Gateway Pundit's Christina Lilof followed the E. Jean Carroll trial on Wednesday in Judge Kaplan's completely corrupt New York City courtroom. Well, this woman's got it right. That courtroom is completely corrupt. I mean, you can catch up on yesterday's developments below. She says the E. Jean Carroll trial, Clinton judge threatens to kick Trump out of the court. Trump hits back and challenges the judge. E. Jean Carroll admits, see, these people are absolute corrupt, totally corrupt. So there you go, Judge Lewis Kaplan. You've gotten You know, your reputation out there is very well known. E. Jean Carroll admits to deleting evidence. E. Jean Carroll admits to deleting evidence under subpoena. Clinton Judge Kaplan rushes to her defense. You see, listen to this, Joe, because I happen to know this as a fact. In trials and hearings like this, the judge is supposed to remain neutral. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah, that's the way I was brought up. I learned when I was young in school, that's the way America was.
And these judges justice like this
blind.
Kaplan.
Remember the statute, the justice, you know, is blind.
Yeah. Well, Joe, listen to this, too. These so-called judges like this Kaplan guy and the others, and they're in Detroit, who come out, and before there's a trial, they come out before there's a trial and announce that the Trump is already guilty, they're supposed to recuse themselves, you know? In other words,
Democrats don't do that. Only real Republicans recuse themselves. Democrats never do.
But so then, because then that would say, well, we have even a trace of legitimacy, a decency or honor, and you cannot be caught having any decency, any legitimacy, any honor out there today if you're a Democratic Communist Party judge, can you?
No. Well, remember their motto, the end justifies the means. This is what they live by. It doesn't matter how you get there. The only thing that matters is the end, that you get the end result you want. That's what they're working for. The goal of communism is the control of the people. And the elites are going to be the ones that tell us what to do, what to think, what we can have, what we can't have, where we can go, all this. And we're in the middle of a revolution. People have to understand this is not a game. It is for real. We're watching a communist revolution take place, and we're seeing the things that have happened in other countries that caused them to fall and turn to communism. And people have to wake up and realize we've got to stop it. The only ones that can do it are we, the people. We can put a halt to this, but people have to understand it is a life or death battle for this country. And underneath the political war is a spiritual battle between our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all the forces of the Antichrist world that are coming against him.
And that is one of the reasons, Joe, that tactical civics is growing the way it is growing out there. I mean, it you know, you've got now in 1,300 counties chapters because people are looking to bring back the standing militia and have the citizens can erect a grand jury, having the citizens, not the way it is, not having corrupt prosecutors convening a grand jury, but having the way it's supposed to be, according to the Constitution, and then start going after these corrupt politicians, start going after and removing these corrupt judges. And that is why tactical civics is growing the way it is. And I think there's going to be another meeting, but I'm not quite sure where this next meeting is going to be. Here, I think tomorrow night in the area here someplace, or it may have been canceled because of the weather. I'm not sure, but if you're out there listening and you know that, call here, tell me, or text me. There you go. Catherine in Minnesota pledges $500. Thank you, Catherine. All righty. 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673, folks. We really do need to hear from you. I think we're doing better tonight than we did last night, Joe. And praise the good Lord, we really did need it to because we have not been having a very good week. But, folks, we appreciate your support helping us. Like I said, it is what it is, and we're not going to let this discourage us. We know that the economy is not good, and we're going to continue doing like we've done for the last half a century, fight with everything we have.
Do what we can, and then ask that for the Lord's help, if it be His will, and That's why we ask you often, just prayerfully consider supporting us. Many, many, many more people listen to this program than ever donate. And it's always a very small percentage that donate to keep things going. And many of you out there that have never donated, now would be a wonderful time to stand up and make a difference.
Ron just did. He's from Texas. He just pledged $500. So we have two 500s, one from Catherine in Minnesota, one from Texas, and that's the fourth $500 pledge. This is a great good night tonight. Thank you.
We get some more people to back it up.
All righty.
I want to...
Job, we're up against it. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Sin is a burning thing. It has a deadly sting. Pleasure is a burning desire. But it will take you to the lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire. That lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire. That lake of fire. Christ is a saving king. He'll keep you from death stings. Sin is a burning desire. Fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire. That lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire. That lake of fire.
All righty, we're back. And we have Pastor Hal. He's standing by. He's going to try to tell us here in a few minutes how you can avoid that burning lake of fire. Boy, that's something you really want to do. Go ahead, Joe. Pick it up where you left off.
All right. Story that needs to be told. We've got these people out here who think that they're protesting against Israel, that think Israel is so horrible, and they're the ones running around going from the river to the sea, Palestine must be, free. I'm not sure if half of them understand that that means they want all the Jews eliminated totally, that they should all be killed.
By now, even the dumbest of them must know that, by now.
I hope by now. Well, here's the story. There's Sloan Kettering Cancer Center there in New York City. And Monday, January 15th, it was targeted by anti-Israeli protesters. Now, this is a cancer-fighting Children's Hospital, okay? Cancer-fighting Children's Memorial Hospital full of kids. And these supporters spent a day there in New York City screaming at the little children hospitalized for all these ailments, mainly cancer, and they were bellowing, "Shame on you," as the little children were peering out the windows of the memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. They're at the pediatric center. The target of their unbridled rage apparently was the fact that the hospital has taken some donations to support the care for children and others there. It's a big center. They had some people that donated, had political positions that seemed to offend the pro-terror protesters. something the little children that are dying with cancer and suffering with cancer treatments, and any of you had any friends or neighbors that have had a cancer treatment, it is bloody horrible. These children have zero, zip, not a connection with anything like that. They're just trying to live. And these idiots spent a day out there raging, yelling at these children, yelling, shame on you, and all kinds of other things. And at the Geller Report, one of the sources I've several together here, the barrage against the children was described as pure evil. The terrified, stricken children watched from the windows with these protesters with the instructions. You could hear them scream, make sure they hear you through the windows. I just wish a bunch of us had been there. I'd have just started busting heads, Pastor. I would have lost it. I don't know about you, but I think you'd have been there right with me, scaring little kids that are getting cancer treatments in a hospital. They should have just had their heads knocked together.
You know, Joe,
I normally am a nonviolent person, but that just enraged me. I'm just glad I wasn't there.
You know, you had these some years ago when they had the Republican convention here in Cleveland. And so I was out here, and it was an interesting thing. It's a long story, but you had a bunch of the burn, loot, and murder and Antifa there. You had some of these very, very perverted people dressed in clerical garb, and they had backpacks, and they were screaming out there. And so, you know, I just went walking out there with the Bible, and I just started preaching to them. I just walked up, didn't have no guns or anything, just me and my book, and walked up. And as I walked up, I'm just preaching them right from God's Word, the Bible, and they started backing up. You had a police line there, and the cops were looking at each other like, do you believe this? And when I walked towards them, they backed up, they backed up. I mean, and all I did was preach God's Word to them about that burning lake of fire, okay?
Yep.
Now, let me tell you.
I should have thought, but I wish I was that good. I got just angry inside instead.
Let me tell you something here, too. You see, the Bible, now look, Israel, we talked about this before. Israel is a very, very sinful nation, and it's just like America. Israel is every bit as sinful as America.
Right.
Israel is standing in the shadow of a holy and a righteous God, okay, that must punish sin. But God has said, you see, now God has said that he will take care of Israel. In other words, he's made it very clear that it will be up to him. Okay, he is going to judge Israel, and he's put the message out for others, leave Israel alone. Don't touch him, right?
Right.
Now, see,
make that quite clear. Do not touch the Lord's anointed.
Right. Now, well, that the Lord's anointed, that would have an application to some point, but that refers to people that God has raised up. But anyhow, so here... I'm going to tell you, the only thing that God's Word, the Bible, tells us to fear is God, right?
Sure. And
so if God says, leave them alone, I'm going to leave them alone, right? I mean, I'm smarter than I look, Joe.
Good advice, yeah. If God says, leave them alone, that's what he means.
That's very good advice.
He means exactly what he says.
And so these young and dumb, the young and dumb that are out there talking about from the river to the sea, eliminate all the Jews. That's what they're talking about. Kill all the Jews.
Yeah, killing them.
Do you think God's listening to that?
Oh, he heard every word, every thought.
And how does he deal with people that are disobedient to him, that are stiff-necked and disobedient?
Well, there's usually some pretty severe consequences, and in the end, if they don't repent their sins, there's a place where they'll wish they had.
Now, Pastor Hal's sitting back. He's listening to all this, and he's chewing at the bit to get into this conversation. But first, I got to say, Anthony from Massachusetts pledges $150. Thank you, Anthony. 888 888- 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Okay, Pastor Hal, what's your comment?
Well, it's like you said, it's not our job to attack Israel. It's our job to pray that they'll see that Jesus Christ was their Messiah, and that if they come to him in repentance and faith, he'll forgive their sins and heal their land, and he'll stick up for them. He'll come to their aid. But as long as they don't repent, then, you know, they're not going to get the help that they need. They're going to get judged instead. But eventually, Israel does repent. The Bible tells in prophecy, it's right with God, and God takes care of punishing all their enemies.
It tells you literally, it's spelled out, the amount of those that are going to, who is saved, who's true Israel, who's not. And he tells you when that's going to happen, too. And,
yeah, and Genesis 12:3, he says, told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That means Hamas, Iran, the whole Muslim world, the communists, everybody that's attacking Israel is under a curse from God.
And in Zechariah 13, verses 7 through 9, he tells you exactly what's going to happen with the nation of Israel, those that are going to repent, those the true Israel, and those that will recognize him. And then the next chapter, he tells you exactly what's going to take place right there, just during that tribulation period, huh?
Right.
So there you go. It's literally spelled out for us. It's not this King James Bible. Is it not, okay, a pre-recorded history?
Sure is.
Well, there you go. You've got it.
Our God made, God is at the end of all things. He knows everything that happens. So, yeah, when he speaks about it, it is pre-post-recorded. It's already happened. He knows the ending, and he's just telling us the end before it happens.
Yeah, well, he tells us the past, the present, and the future extremely accurately, huh?
Yeah, exactly. King James Bible is the Bible God loves and the devil hates.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we have approximately about 18 minutes before midnight, and that's how much time you have that we have. Like I said, I want to praise the good Lord. So far tonight, we're doing better. We're having our best night this week, but it hasn't been a very strong week. In fact, the last couple, but again, you know, we understand God's word, the Bible tells us that we have to be able to perform, whether we're to abound, okay, when we're abounding, or to be abased. So if God wants us to continue, he will provide. And we're here, and we're still fighting 50 years later with everything we have. We're not going to ever quit. Until he takes us out of here, but we sure could use your help. Joe in New York pledges $150. Thanks, Joe. Alrighty. Okay, legal experts, Jack Smith's charges against President Trump are illegitimate. We've all known that, haven't we?
Exactly.
Multiple legal experts say Jack Smith's campaign to make President Trump a criminal should have ended before it ever got started, because a private citizen has no authority to bring any criminal charges against anyone. According to a report in the Washington Times, the comments come from former President Ronald Reagan's attorney general and two law professors who clerked for the Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia.
Scalia, was Ed Meese, right?
Right. Former U.S. Attorney General Edward Meese and Professor Stephen Calabresi and Gary Lawson have filed a 25-page brief in the Supreme Court pointing out that there is no constitutional authority for current Attorney General Merrick Garland's assignment to Smith to do such a high-level criminal investigation. The reason, he's a private citizen, not confirmed by the Senate. He had been a U.S. attorney at one point, but was gone from government service and living in the Netherlands when Garland reached out and picked him, the report said. The experts say a lawfully appointed special counsel would have had to serve in the Justice Department after being appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. Lawfully special counsel appointments in the past, they said, included Patrick Fitzgerald, who served as U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, Rod Rosenstein, oh, he was not a good one, who was also a U.S. Attorney, as were John Hoover and John Durham. Their filing charges what federal statutes and Constitution do not allow, however, is for the Attorney General to appoint a private citizen who has never been confirmed by the Senate as a substitute United States Attorney under the title Special Counsel. That is what has happened on November 18, 2022. That appointment was unlawful, as are all legal actions that have flowed from Smith. And the citizen is, in fact, prosecuting felony charges against Trump related to his comments and actions regarding the 2020 presidential election, which evidence has confirmed was subject to multiple undue influence. I mean, it's just, they've got no decency, no integrity, no fear of the law at all, do they?
Apparently no fear.
Leonard in New Jersey pledges 50. Thank you, Leonard. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. How much time do I have there, Style? Okay, you got 7 minutes. Hal, tell the folks how they can get to heaven and they can avoid hell. That's very, very important, is it not?
No, it sure is. I just wanted to say that, you know, most of the people in this country don't even know what Marxism is. But Marxism is a branch of communism that was started by a self-confessed Satanist by the name of Karl Marx. And all you people that vote for the Democrat Communist Party is voting for the Marxist Party. It's a satanic outfit, and that's why they're completely immoral and destroying this country every way they can, because this country was founded on God and his principles and righteousness, and they hate that. And anybody, you know, they're trying to get people to, you know, usurp all that. And they did that in the 2020 election. And it's a shame. But, you know, we just got to pray that this country repents before God's judgment totally hits this place. And now you as an individual, you're going to either go to heaven or hell. And God tells you in the Bible how to avoid hell and go to heaven. First of all, in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." When Jesus died on that cross, this is why Calvary is so important. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every dirty, rotten, lousy sin you and I have ever done in our lives. When Jesus died, right before he passed away, he said, "It is finished," which means all the work that he did on that cross for us has been accepted by God the Father as payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done, to have our sins washed away by his blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And salvation is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and saved means saved from hell, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." It's a free gift. You can't work your way there. You can be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. If you could quit sinning right now, and never sin again to the day you died, which would be impossible, just the sins you've already done would be enough to keep you out of heaven, because God can't let one sin into heaven, or heaven wouldn't be heaven very long. So the choice is yours. God's saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." That means in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Right now while I'm talking to you, excuse me, Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, and he's knocking. And he's asking you if you will open up that door and let him come in. He wants to save your soul, but he's leaving it up to you. John 1:12 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." That means you have to reach out and receive it. It's not going to be forced on you. And if you want to receive that payment, excuse me, God is knocking at the door of your heart right now, and you can receive it by asking him to come in. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To call means to pray. So excuse the cough. I've got that cold that's been going around. So it's giving me a tough time now. I think the devil's trying to choke me up here so I can't give the plan of salvation. But if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, do it right now in a simple prayer of faith. Simple prayer of faith. Pray with me right now and just really mean it. That, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul from hell. Lord, I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And I thank you, Lord, for coming into my heart right now and giving me that payment and giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you prayed that prayer just now and meant it, excuse me, then he saved you. He came in. The Holy Spirit's inside of you right now. Every sin you've ever done has been washed away, and you've become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. So, again, excuse me for the coughing. It's a battle. When it's close, it's a battle. And the devil tries to keep you from doing it sometimes, but you know, it makes it all worth it, you know, because if one soul gets saved, with me coughing and sputtering and everything else right now, if one soul asks Jesus Christ to come into their heart and get saved and be in eternity for all heaven for all eternity, it's worth it. So, and then listen, once you get saved, the Bible says in Psalm 34, he says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." God saves you, so you will magnify him in your life from the time you get saved to the time you go home to be with him. And one reason this world is in the situation it's in is because there's too many Christians out there that once they got saved, they never did a thing to magnify the Lord in their lives. And that's a shame. If Christians took a stand and magnified the Lord and their soul boasted, made their boast in the Lord and blessed the Lord, this would be a totally different country. And the devil's crowd, the devil's political party, the deep state and all that, they wouldn't be in charge right now. But, you know, it's because Christians haven't been doing their job, and they're going to have to give an account to God for that someday. Don't let that be you. If you got saved tonight, if you've given your heart to Christ tonight, then the Bible says these things that I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Not just think it, wish it, or hope for it, but know it. Know it because God told you, and God cannot lie. Go ahead, Pastor.
You know, Hal, I would have, you know, the Scripture says to make your salvation sure. Make your salvation sure. And, you know, people I know have made I've seen people, they've prayed the sinner's prayer. And if there's no change, if, in fact, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you and you don't have a desire to serve God, then you're going to grieve the Holy Ghost, and he's going to grieve you back. So if you're out there and you have a profession of faith but you're not serving the Lord, if you're you just say, you know, well, I'm a good person. I go to church. That's all I need to do. No. If you don't have a burning desire to serve God, you better make your salvation sure. You better make sure. You better go back and visit again. We're out of time for tonight. And so as we get to this point, at this time every night, you guys, are you ready?
We're ready.
We say good night. Say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Say God bless.
God bless.
And then we say, we say Daily Michigan pledges 50, and then we want to say always keep fighting the, get ready, fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.